Welcome to episode 34 of Life with Mitty. Whoa, we are way overdue for a new episode. Our last ones were published in October of 2018. A few things happened in our family that caused me to pause for a little while, and I really appreciate all of you who have been listening to the existing episodes. It's really been encouraging to see the counts actually going up of the number of people downloading and listening. So thank you for that. If you want to see some pictures that go along with our previous episodes, go to www.teslaownersonline.com and search title for Life with Mitty. And if you aren't already a member, it's free. And you can leave me questions there as well as meet many other Model 3 owners and enthusiasts. You may find out some things that other people have experienced and some current events. It's a really great forum. I've learned a lot there too, as an owner, and I contribute from time to time, do the best that I can to help out. But it's time to change format. Up until this time, we've been doing storytelling and including in the story some things that we've learned in our life with Mitty. But now, we want to change that up to being a little bit more explicit about what we're learning as we drive Mitty in while she drives us. But before we go any farther, I want to announce our first winner of a free audiobook. It's David from St. Peters, Missouri. And yes, he resides in the same town in which we live. Why did he win? Well, that's easy. He was the only person who sent an email to lifewithmitty@gmail.com. Now, you may want a free audiobook. Say, Doug, I want one too. Well, that's easy. All you have to do is send an email to lifewithmitty@gmail.com. I'll send you a list of my top 10 titles on Audible, and you can, from those links that I give you, actually get a free copy with a trial subscription. But remember, when you send your email, I'm going to include you in that drawing, just like I did for David. And of course, you don't have to use those links. You can just go ahead and wait and see if you're a winner, with no cost or obligation. No problem at all. Okay, so now it's time to start this episode, where we're going to talk about road trips. Now, I'm going to break this up into several episodes. This first one, we're going to focus on planning, how to plan your road trip. And I'm going to go back to some of the things that I learned on #MittyGoesToYellowstone and #MittyGoesToSpringTraining, which you can find on Tesla Owners Online, and the recent road trip to the Midwest Tesla Gathering in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Now, in all of those cases, I have some particular tools that I choose to use. My first one is car navigation. Yep, I start in the car when I'm thinking about a road trip. I'm thinking about, okay, going back a few weeks, what I did to get ready for a Midwest Tesla Gathering. I knew the date. I knew where I needed to go. I needed to go to Bowling Green, Kentucky. I didn't know yet where I was going to stay. I didn't have an idea. That would soon become clear as I got more information. But I went out to Mitty, sat in the garage, and put in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Then I let the car navigation show me the route that it was going to take. Now keep in mind, it's also going to take into consideration the car's current state of charge. If you've just got a little bit in the battery, don't be surprised when it tells you to charge right away, because it's basing it on what the car's current state of charge is. Now, you don't have to worry about, oh, so you mean I have to charge it up before I even start planning? Of course not. Just keep that in mind when you see that coming back to you. Now, I'm sure some of you are saying, Doug, I don't have a car. That's why I'm listening to your podcast. Well, that's easy. I'm going to share with you a little-known website. It's rarely talked about, even by Tesla, and it's not even in the menus for their website. If you don't have a Model 3 and you want to do some planning, see where your car could go once you get one. Go to www.tesla.com. You're thinking, yeah, well, that's easy. /trips. T-R-I-P-S. This will take you to a site that gives you a list of cars on the left. Scroll down, pick Model 3. They've got it all clumped into 310 miles range. That's fine. Just start there. And I know folks that are standard range and standard range plus, it hasn't been updated for you guys, but that's okay. You can at least get an idea of your possible road trip and the stops that you would take. Once you pick your car, now put in your starting location and your destination. It's going to assume that you've got a full charge when you start on your way. And even those of us that have our cars, we can use this too. Why? Because we can set the starting location. When you do car navigation, it's where the car is. With this, we can set it to any starting location. Also, we can set waypoints, stops, places where we want to stop along the way. And it will also include those in the calculation of where to stop, what superchargers to use, and how long. That's really helpful, even for those of us who have cars, because we can't do that in the in-car navigation, at least at the time of this recording, not yet. So www.tesla.com/trips, it's a pretty neat feature. The other thing it shows you at the end is it will show you destination chargers. We'll talk a little bit more about this in just a bit. Other tools that I've used in the past for planning, evtripplanner.com. Now this one's been around a while. I think there's a lot of Model S and X owners who have used this in the past, and they probably really love it. For me, it's a little too complicated. There's a little bit too much you have to do to get something good out of it. And it's probably because I haven't used it since the beginning and I probably haven't spent enough time with it. So for some people, evtripplanner.com may be a good choice. The one that I'm going to be using more in the car and trying it out for some future episodes is abetterrouteplanner.com. Abetterrouteplanner.com. This one has some real potential. And it also has the ability to send information to your car's navigation. Now, of course, it's probably going to send a piece of the route at a time, but this will have some potential. And it works in the new Chromium-based browser that's in the cars now. It wouldn't have worked very well with the older browser. So we'll be trying that out for a future episode. The last one, and I've only tried it out once and abandoned it quickly, was plugshare.com. This is a great place to find chargers. Tesla, J1772, CHAdeMO, if you have the new CHAdeMO adapter. And hopefully one day we'll see a CCS combo adapter for Tesla. This is a great place to find those chargers. It's not a good place to plan a route. It takes nothing into account that I can see, whether it's elevation, location, whatever. It just simply puts a line around where you're going to start and says, okay, you got this much range. Here's the chargers you ought to look for. Yeah, not really to my liking. You can try it out if you want. See what you can get out of it. So we've talked about different tools for planning your route, and part of what you're going to be using these tools for, along with the hotel site you usually like to use, you'll be using that as well. We'll come back to these in how to do a single day, single destination scenario in just a minute. But I don't want to forget something else you should have in your plan for a road trip. Charging cables. Don't forget your mobile connector and a J1772 adapter. Now, when I got MIDI last year, in May of 2018, I had included with the car the mobile connector, a J1772 adapter, and a 240 volt, 220, 240 volt, 14-50 adapter. If you don't have those with you, or you don't have them to begin with, I wouldn't leave on a road trip without them. You don't know what you're going to encounter. Sometimes you may get into a rainstorm, and that can reduce your range by as much as 20%. I've experienced it myself, coming back from a trip to Kansas City back home. The week after, with no rain, I was able to make it on one charge without a problem. With rain, I had to stop in Columbia, Missouri, and stop for a short supercharge to make it home. Now imagine you're somewhere where you're not close to a supercharger, but maybe you're close to a KOA or an RV park. In those cases, you're going to want the 14-50 adapter. You can buy it on Tesla's website. You're going to want it because you get out in the middle of wherever you are and you're stuck with plugging into 110, you're going to get no more than 5 miles of range per hour of charge. That is terribly slow. Now, we'll talk about situations where that actually makes sense. I'll give you a practical example in just a minute. But my point is, you don't want to leave without the charging cables. You want a mobile connector. You want a J1772 adapter, because that will allow you to charge at a lot of public charging stations. And that 1450 could really come in handy when the only place you can charge at is a KOA or an RV park. The CHAdeMO adapter, consider it, but it's $450, and even the newest CHAdeMO charging stations that Electrify America, that is part of Volkswagen, is providing right now and rolling out, the fastest they normally go is 50 kilowatt. Yes, the standard allows for as much as 100 or more kilowatt speeds. Unfortunately, most of the chargers I've seen that are CHAdeMO are limited to 50. Now, if that works for you where you are and where you're going, well, sure, then that's another option for you. Finally, when we're talking about charging cables, we also have to put in this disclaimer. Don't use extension cords, ever, under no circumstances. I know I got people that say, but Doug, I've got the orange one that's really, really thick. Can't I use that for the 110? I still say no, okay? If you want to take that risk, that is totally on you. I'm telling you, don't use extension cords. Just don't do it. So here we are with a scenario, the single day, single destination scenario. Now, what do I mean by that? It means you're going to drive your Model 3 from your starting point, probably your home, and you're going to go to a single destination in a single day. So if you want to plan that, I would start with the car. Again, the car navigation. You go in there and you type in your final destination for the day. And then you see what it comes up with. You're going to get an idea as to maybe some of the stops you can make and when those are going to be convenient. And if you have kids or not, it's all going to depend on, you know, what potty breaks you need. When do you want to eat? And there could be some attractions along the way. Some amusements, some places to go, some entertainment. Those can be right on your way. Now remember, your car is only going to be concerned about getting you to that destination. And this scenario that I'm talking about is not a multi-stop destination, okay? That gets to be a little more complicated. We'll probably put it in its own episode. And again, if you don't have a car yet, go ahead and use www.tesla.com/trips. and put in your starting location and your ending location. And with that, you do have that opportunity to have multiple stops. Pretty handy. When you get your feel for what that route is going to be, now go to www.tesla.com/findus, find US. Type in your destination address. Now you're going to see destination chargers, superchargers, service centers, and stores around your destination. You can also filter out. So if you just want to see destination chargers, you can just select that. Now, when you look at those destination chargers, you can click to see their address, website, phone number, and charging details, the number of destination chargers, their maximum speed, and whether they're public or just available to customers or patrons. Now, here's something to consider. When you are planning where you're going to end up, your destination, if there's a supercharger at that city, you can just use that, and then you can pick wherever you want to stay. Now, let's say, though, that you're not going to stay at a hotel. You're going to stay with relatives or family. Or you're going to stay with a friend. Well, as long as you can get your car with the mobile connector close enough to a 110, and you know you're going to have a day or so to plug in, fantastic. Just ask them, hey, can I have some free electricity? And away you go. But don't be that guy, like the guy in Florida that plugged in his car at a stranger's home. Are you kidding me? That was crazy. And of course, the Tesla owner, you know, the stereotype kicks right in. So then, of course, all of us are charging our cars at people's houses that we don't know. That was just silly. In that case, you don't really need to care about that. Unless you need a bigger charge to move on to your next destination from their house. But again, we're talking about single day, single destination. Now, let's say that you are staying at a hotel. When you're looking at that list of destination chargers, find the one that makes the best sense to you. The kind of hotel it is, the particular brand of hotel. You may have bonus points that you have for particular hotel chains. It may be closer to where you're going to have some fun. Let's talk about this trip that Deborah and I took to Bowling Green, Kentucky. We knew that the next day, it was going to be her 60th birthday, August 3rd. And we knew we needed to be close to the NCM Motorsports Park. And the Corvette Museum. That's where we were going to have our gathering that night. We were going to take the whole place over. Well, then it made sense. Let's try to find a hotel close to that area that has a destination charger. However, at the same time, Bowling Green also has superchargers. So it made it doubly good. I could go ahead and be close to where I needed to be. And I knew that there was going to be a lot of contention for those chargers. A lot of Tesla owners were going to be there. So we already had kind of figured out, you know, the buddy system of making sure nobody just hogged it all night and allowing other people to share. We worked that all out amongst ourselves without any problem. But when you go on your road trip, those are some of the things you have to consider. Let's talk just a bit about etiquette. When you're using a destination charger, let's make sure that unless it's marked public, like the one I used in Jasper, Indiana, make sure you're a patron. You're staying at the hotel or you're eating at the restaurant. I know you're saying, I don't have to do that. I'm saying etiquette-wise, you should. You should support those who are providing the free electricity. In some places, you're going to have a key card just to get to the area where you can charge. Now, most places don't do that. They just put them out in the parking lot. Just keep that in mind and consider there may be somebody traveling from another state, and there you are, and especially if you leave the car, keep that in mind that while you're charging, you got first dibs, that's fine. But after you're done charging, don't leave it parked there overnight, please, if you can help it. Now, if it's going to take overnight to get you enough charge to move on to your next destination, by all means. But just keep those things in mind. So let's recap using an example of our recent trip to Bowling Green, Kentucky for the Midwest Tesla Gathering. I knew where I wanted to go, Bowling Green, Kentucky. So I went to MIDI and I typed in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then she gave me a route based on my current level of charge and my location here at the house. So then I had a good idea what my route was going to be. I chose to meet up with a friend of mine at the Melville Supercharger. But that was just a meeting place, and then if I needed to top off a little bit before I leave. There's no reason not to leave with 100% charge on road trips. I rarely ever charge to 100% any other time. I then came inside where I had a bigger screen and my computer in the house, and that's when I could pick my hotel using the hotel site I like to use. I could then find out availability about that particular hotel that was close enough to where I wanted to be and had a destination charger. Once I got that set up, I just made sure that I was registered for the gathering, and I was in pretty good shape. I was ready to go, had all the information I needed, and my planning was complete. All right, let's switch to another scenario. Multi-day, single destination. Now, if you think back to the earlier episodes of Life with MIDI, that would be MIDI goes to Yellowstone. What you don't know until now is in March, we did MIDI goes to spring training. We went down to West Palm Beach, Florida for some baseball. Let's talk a little bit about planning a multi-day single destination trip. And this time, I'm going to focus specifically on MIDI goes to Yellowstone. We didn't have the car yet, so I used www.tesla.com/trips. Started the road trip here at our house and just put in Yellowstone National Park. We allowed the trip planner then to figure out the route. And the route it picked, and this was back a year before I bought the car. I had already gotten my $1,000 down on March 31st, 2016, but this was July of 2017, and the first 30 cars had been released as production. It was going to be a while. So even back then, I started planning using Slash Trips. What I did is I wrote down the supercharger locations, the travel time, the time needed to supercharge, and then kept track of the elapsed time. I had 11 stops. Those were all supercharger stops. When I did get MIDI, guess what? A different route. I had already made hotel reservations. I had already picked the route I wanted to go. The car navigation led us to the east entrance of Yellowstone. But Slash Trips used the south entrance. Since it was our very first road trip, I didn't want to take a chance. I had driven EVs for a while, but never on a road trip. Finally, I had a car that could do that. We sticked with the plan that Slash Trips gave us. The things I had to figure out are, when do I want to stop and where? It was pretty easy to figure out that the place we're going to stop at either better have some destination chargers or it's got to have a supercharger. When I took a look at the plan and I saw how long I wanted to drive, and again, I'm not going to tell you, oh, this many hours or in this situation. I'm just giving you some guidelines here and a little bit of background as to how we planned MIDI goes to Yellowstone. For me, we settled on Colby, Kansas. There they had a supercharger. There were no destination chargers, so I could pretty well pick the hotel I wanted to stay at. The hotel I picked, made the reservation. I had a pretty good feeling that it was going to be a good place to stay. It turned out to be one of our best stays. The thing about it, on subsequent days, day two, day three, you want to charge to 100% before you leave. Either the next morning before you leave or at the hotel's destination charger if you have one. Don't be a plug hog. Please, when your car reaches 100%, please take it off the charger and move it. That way somebody else can also charge. Now keep in mind in those subsequent days, the car nav could reroute you now that you have 100% charge where you're starting. And if so, you maybe want to reconsider and actually change your route. You may get a shorter route or switch to navigating to the next supercharger and stay on the original route you planned. Some of the limits to the car navigation are that you don't really get to customize the route much. You don't get to add stops along the way. What you can do is at least navigate to the next supercharger, and there's a new, very good reason why. This wasn't there when we did Midi Goes to Yellowstone. The car will pre-warm your battery for the fastest supercharging speed. We took advantage of this when we charged up at Mount Vernon, Illinois, on our way to Bowling Green. The car on the screen says, preconditioning battery for supercharging. Oh, you want that. You're going to get the fastest charge you can for your state of charge, however much the battery is charged up. You know that that varies. We'll talk more about supercharging in a future episode. That was wonderful. Back when we did Midi Goes to Yellowstone, there was no preconditioning of the battery. There was no pre-warming, getting it ready to supercharge. Now, because of that feature, if you do nothing else but set the navigation for the next supercharger that you want to stop at, say you've got your plan and you've got your list of superchargers and where you want to stay, you already have hotels lined up, everything's ready to go, places you want to check out, there may be some attractions near some of the superchargers, you've got that all planned, you can do it. Just go ahead and set for your next destination the very next supercharger on your list. And you say, well, Doug, how easy is it to find superchargers in the car navigation? If you just touch anywhere on the screen, it's going to show you in the lower right-hand corner three circle icons. Pick the lowest one. That's going to give you a list of superchargers and destination chargers close to wherever you are. When you're at your final destination, if you are not staying with family or friends, try to pick a place that does have a destination charger if possible. Now for us, it worked out really good that we had at least a Clipper charger, remember that? 32 amps? That J1772 adapter worked out great. Yeah, it wasn't a destination charger, a Tesla destination charger, but it was free electricity, and it kept us from having to go to West Yellowstone and go out of our way just to charge. So you want to keep that in mind when you get to your final destination. PlugShare is a great app to find some of those charging stations. Great way to do that. Well, it's time to end this particular episode of Life with Midi. In future episodes, we'll go more in depth on road trips. We'll talk about charging during a road trip, supercharging versus destination charging, and we'll talk about how to use Navigate on autopilot for group road trips. Thanks for listening to Life with Midi, and we'll talk to you again soon.